Well, we need the Lord to speak to us this morning. I feel like He's inspired us with some things, and we'd like to share a little more in a little series that we've been speaking of, the how the Lord formed us, and He formed us in love, and He blew His breath in us in love. And He cares about us. He wants us to be a separate people on purpose because He loves us. He wants that unto Himself. He wants to care for us, and the Lord has some things in mind about you and me. And, you know, I've found working at the school at different times, sometimes we fail a little bit to get the most basic concepts. And so we move on through life, and we want to be doing things that mathematicians do, but we're still struggling with understanding the basic concepts. That really limits us. And I was thinking about living for the Lord, how the Lord wants us to understand His love this morning. How much He wants us to understand the way we were formed and the way we were framed. And, you know, when it comes time to consecrate our life to Him, if we don't really understand how much God loves us, it's going to be kind of hard for us to open our heart and just freely give our life to Him. Just take our hands off and say, Lord, here it is. I want You to have Your way. All through my life, I want You to live in me. I want my life to glorify You. Kind of hard to do that if we don't know that God loves us this morning. And so I want to start with a verse in the song number 177, the second verse. It says, He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me. Notwithstanding all, He saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh how great. Loving kindness, His loving kindness, oh how great. You know, I know this is pretty basic this morning, but you know, this has so much to do with our reaction back to God. A lot of people weren't raised in a way, or maybe because of their own circumstances, their own heart and mind, they did not feel the love coming from Father that they wanted. Maybe it wasn't their own circumstances. Maybe it's just the way it was. But you know, the Lord wants to teach us His ways this morning. He wants to teach us from His Word and from us viewing and realizing what God has in His heart toward us. He wants us to realize His love to us this morning. And He wants us to be able to open our hearts to that and realize how much God really does love us and care for us, and what kind of response. It is only then, I believe, that we can truly open our heart to Him and say, Lord, just have Your way, because we realize how much He cares for us. He saw me ruined in the fall, and the song says, yet loved me notwithstanding all. What was the all? All my sin, all my shame, all my disobedience, and the Lord loved me. He loved me. He came and died for us and put Himself in that place because He loved us that much this morning. And so I want to look at a few scriptures and think about the revelation of the Lord to our heart and to our life, and how much He longs for that this morning. How much He wants you and I to, He doesn't only want to love us, He wants us to love Him back. You know, we know that the gospel, excuse me, the gospel is very balanced. It brings out, behold, the goodness and the severity of God. And sometimes we only see the severity. Maybe we have been an offender. Maybe we have hardened our heart. And there is severity there, but I want to tell you, to all those that fear his name, to all those that long after God, I want to tell you, the Lord's mercy is everlasting. It endures to us, and it gives to us. It looks upon our need. His loving kindness, how great it is when we humble our hearts before him and when we begin to search after God. I want to look at Matthew, the 16th chapter, starting at verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Simon Peter had gotten up close enough to the Lord and gotten to a place with the Lord where he had revealed himself to him. And he quickly, it sounds like, answered right back, you're the Christ. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon Peter knew that in his heart. He didn't have to fish around and wonder and wait and, you know, well, who are you? I don't know. Some say you're Jeremiah. You know, are you Jeremiah? Come back. Are you Elijah? You one of the prophets? You know, who are you that all... But Peter knew in his heart who he was, didn't he? And so he said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this, it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You know, this morning the Lord, the Father in heaven, longs to reveal to us who he really is. All around us in the world, we see every kind of idea of God. We see him as a big piece of stone. People see him, I say we, people do. They see him as something to bow down to bring offerings to that cannot be eaten. All of these things that bring, you go around to some of these restaurants and you'll find an image there with fruit setting there. That's real. That's on purpose in some of these places. Because that's their image. That's their mind's image of who God is. And so they bring him fruits. And what is the Lord really wanting? What is he really after? He's after that man and that woman that he made in the garden. He's after that heart that's fully his and that comes back to him and gives themselves to him and realizes who God the Father is. This is my maker. This is the one that loved me. This is the one that blew the breath of life into me. And he cares about me. Do you know God like that this morning? Can you say immediately, this is my best friend. This is the one that breathed life into me. This is the one that when I was in the hardest places of my life, he was there. This is the one that delivered me from myself. This is the one that delivered me from my sins, the things that would divide me from my family, the things that would divide me from God. He delivered me. Is that who we know as the Lord this morning? Do we find God like that? Has he been revealed into our heart? I just want to encourage us this morning. That's who God is. And that's what he wants you and I in our hearts. He wants to reveal himself to us this morning. The Father wants to reveal his love to you and me today. He wants to reveal his compassion, and that's really my thought this morning. The compassion that God, that Christ had upon you and me. I pray that the Lord would make this something this morning that we can profit from in our hearts and lives. In John 6 and 52, John 6 and 52 to 69, I'm going to read a little ways there. It says here, the Jews therefore strove among themselves saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now we've all, most all of us have heard this a lot of times. But Jesus here was speaking to those Jews, and it says in 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And these people could not take this in because it was very sinful and very, is a very egregious offense to talk about drinking blood and eating flesh when God had commanded them not to do so. And so Jesus was speaking language they didn't really understand. Not all of them anyway. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now don't you know that Jesus knew full well that this was extremely offensive to these people? But he was going a little deeper. You know, sometimes the Lord speaks to us in ways that we have to stop and say, Lord, what's this mean? Well, one of the apostles said one time, come and see. And it says here, many therefore of his disciples, verse 60, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And you know, I believe this. He gave them a reason to go away. I know that sounds kind of hard. This loving God, they didn't love him. They were going to betray him. They wanted to murder him. And that was their thought. And he gave them a reason that they could go away. But do you know that to those that really, let's look on and see what, not all of them went away, did they? And it says here, he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now here was Peter again, and he had understood in his heart that Christ had the words of eternal life. I'm not sure he understood what Jesus said here, but he understood this. He understood Jesus' intent, didn't he? He understood how much he cared about the people. He understood that he was the Christ. He understood that he had the words of eternal life. And so, are you going to go away, Peter? He says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. You know, this morning, I believe the Lord wants to help us to get up close enough to him that he takes away that place where we hesitate. Who is he? Who is he to us? Peter said, we know and are sure of who you are. You know, the Lord wants to reveal that to us today. He wants us to be sure of Christ's love and His compassion to us. He wants us to read. He wants us to experience with the Lord. He wants us to draw close to Him, and He wants to draw close to us. And as we do that, do you know the Lord will begin to teach us eternal truths that even when we don't understand something, we know this. He loves me. He cares for me. He will lead me. We know this. I'm not departing from His ways. I won't give myself to wickedness. I won't allow myself to be disillusioned from those things, because I'm sure and I know that who He is the Son of God. He came to bring us life. He breathed life in our very body and then in our soul. And doesn't the Lord long today to bless you and me this morning? I believe He does. I believe He stands waiting. He is waiting for us to say, I'll follow You. If everybody else goes back, that's okay. I believe and am sure of who You are. I'm going to serve You. Your love has won my heart. Your dealings with me has won my heart. And those dealings just stack up through the years until it's undeniable. The Lord was here, and then He was there, and then He was here and over there. And you know what? I can't find anywhere He wasn't. I didn't understand it sometimes through life. It seemed, where is God? Why is He not? Where? I don't understand. But you know, a few years on down, and I looked back, and there He was. He was there all the time, wasn't He? The Lord wants to reveal to our hearts this morning who He is. And He wants us to be able, willingly, to open our arms and our hands and say, Lord, I want You to take, young folks, Lord, I want You to take the best years of my life. I want You to have them in Your service. I want You to do with them whatever You would like to do. I am not boasting, but I will tell you, I did that. And I am not, there is no sorrow about it. The Lord will bless. There are many here. There are a number here that have done that. Folks, if you want your life to be a life full of many blessings. Do we have trials? Yes, I have seen many. But I will tell you what I have found. I have found God to carry our burdens. I have found Him to heal our bodies. I have found Him to walk before us. I have found Him to give direction, though sometimes we waited long for some of those things. But in the end, I saw it was the hand of God all along. Have we not seen that, folks, this morning? The Lord help us to draw up close to Him and realize what God has for you and me. You know, the woman said, I know that Messiah, this was the woman at the well, she said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He has come, He will tell us all things. You know, they knew that Christ was coming, and they knew that He was going to be their deliverer, though it wasn't in the way they thought. They thought He was going to deliver them from all their enemies, and the Romans were going to be subdued and all of those things. And they knew it was going to happen in the time of the Romans. Brother Jim's fixing to start a Revelation study here. You know that those people knew back in Daniel it prophesied that this time was coming. They knew something about the Messiah, that He was to heal their ills, that He was to do many great things among their people. And you know, but they expected it in a carnal way, didn't they? And they totally missed it. This morning, we can totally miss the most basic elements of serving the Lord unless we draw up real close to Him and spend time with Him and learn of Him. He said, learn of Me. I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. And the Lord wants us to learn that of Him this morning. I want to look over in Matthew 9 and 36. And look a little bit. There are many scriptures like this. I couldn't possibly get them all out, but maybe we'll read a few of them here before we're done. One of them here, Matthew 9:36, it says, "But when he saw," this talking of Christ, "when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples," listen to the mind of the Lord, "when he saw all these people and they were hungry, they were fainting, and he said, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Don't we know the Lord wants, that's his heart this morning. He saw us ruined in the fall, and you know, he knew he was going back to heaven, and he said, "You pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers out." Folks, where are the laborers? That's going to come from people that are living for him, isn't it? It's going to come from you and me saying, "Lord, use my life. Use the best days of my life. I don't want to just try to make it into heaven and somehow keep away from the evil things and some way maybe get saved right at the last minute or something." Folks, the Lord wants us to take our hands off of our life and give ourselves to him. Give our intellect to him. Give our years to him. Give the time that we would be doing things for ourselves. Give those times to him. And I believe what we'll see is we'll see the Lord working. You'll see the Lord working in your life in ways you never knew God would or could this morning. Thank the Lord. He's moved with compassion toward those who are without. And there's a lot of places like that. I want to look over here in Hebrews 2 at another word about the Lord Jesus. I'm persuaded if people understood the mind of the Lord, if they really understood it with their heart, they would come flocking to him this morning. 2:6. It says here, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" What is man that you're mindful of him? Why would the God of heaven be mindful of you and me? What is it there that he would be mindful of? Because it's his loving creation. He made it. And he has love to us this morning. And he longs for us to come unto him. He longs to give us rest. He longs to cradle us up in his arms and love us this morning. "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set over him the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death." Now, how was Jesus made lower than the angels? Because he died a human death, didn't he? And so in that way, Jesus was made lower than the angels. "Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him," listen to the love in those words. Folks, listen to the compassion in those words. God could have said, "I'm done. I'm through. I just, you ought to love me. I made you." But he says here that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." For both, well, maybe I'll drop on down. (Clears throat) Let's drop down to 16, 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things, listen to the heart of God here. Listen to what Christ did. In all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Do you know the Lord is able? He is able to understand you and I and our temptations, because he not only tasted death for every man, but he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And he came to bring us a deliverance. He came to bring us love that there was no way on our own out of those things. In the fourth chapter, just over a chapter or two, in the 15th verse of Hebrews 4, it says here, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's the Lord that we serve, folks. This is who we serve. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He understands that we are people. He understands that we are dust and that our frame is dust. I want to read that scripture in Psalms 103 and 13. The Lord is looking on us and wants to give us grace. I know that. I believe that. But I want to tell you something. His compassions toward us are such that he longs for you and me to prosper in the Lord. He longs to help us in our weakness, in our temptation, in our troubles. When life is heavy and we don't feel like we can go on, the Lord longs to lift us and help us. Psalm 103 and 13 and 14. It says here, "Like as a father pitieth his children." Now folks, a common father with what God put in them that hasn't been damaged by sinfulness to take away these natural desires. A common father pitieth his children. He sees them. He understands them because he was a child and he loves them this morning. It says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust this morning." Did you know the Lord remembers that? That we're dust? And he knows we need him to lift us up today. Lamentations 3 and 18. Listen to the words here. "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." You know, Jeremiah, he said, "I recall something to my mind. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness this morning. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." And so this morning, I just want to bring that little message to us today. This is God. This is his word. I've basically read his word this morning and made a few comments. But you know, this is who he is. He wrote 66 books of love to us. Yes, there are some commandments. There are some judgments when we take our evil way and we turn our hearts to evil. The Lord never promised not to have that. In fact, he told us there would be that. But do you know that those that fear him, his heart is turned to them. I encourage us this morning to fear the Lord. Don't ever think, well, I lost out. I can do anything I want. What a grievous mistake it is. What a terrible judgment call that is when people do that. I've seen young people do that. It's the gravest mistake of their life when they do that. They think that that don't matter. Folks, listen. Fear God and depart from evil. Fear him and fall at his feet. Lord, I need you. I need you to lift me up. I need you to make me one of your children. I need you to save me from myself and from the devil and from sin. And he will do that for us today. But I want to tell you, it takes a real humbling of our heart as we go through life. I want to read a few other scriptures here. In 1 John 2, I know we've heard this many times. I don't want to forget it because it's one of those little principles that we need to know. The heart of God. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. The whole book of John is written against sin. The whole 1 John from beginning to end is so in the strongest language in the Bible, it seems to me. The strongest kind of language against sin. But in the midst of all of that, he says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Do you know when you look that scripture up and you realize what it says, that word advocate, it means an intercessor or an advocate. An intercessor is a mediator. It's one who interposes between parties at variance. Sin brings variance between parties. And the Lord wants us to know he is there. Even in our weakest, our worst moment, the Lord is still there if our heart is turned to him and we take advantage of this and we repent and turn from our ways. Folks, the Lord wants to bring reconciliation. It says, one who interposes between parties at variance with a view to reconcile them. One who pleads in behalf of another. That's what the Lord, Jesus is. That's his heart of compassion to you and me. Because is he looking to somehow, somewhere I'm going to find the line where I can slice them off? Another one gone. I don't have to worry about them anymore. Is that what he's thinking? Or did he die for us? Is he there for us in our needs? Does he see us in our weakest moment, in our temptation, in our troubles, when the loads are heavy? Does he understand those things? It behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he could help us and that he could succor us or succor us, however that word is pronounced there. I've heard it different ways. But you know, this morning, the Lord wants to be there to comfort us, to strengthen, to give us new hope, to give us new life. And he is forever longing for you and me to come up a little higher. Come up with me. I want you to sup with me. I want you to get away from the basic elements, that you don't have to keep going back to those basic things. And the Lord, I believe, wants to do that for us today. And I love him for it. Folks, don't we love the Lord for what he's done for us today? I know a number of us do. With all of our hearts, love the Lord this morning. Love him enough that you'll leave all to follow him. Leave all in your heart. Now, does he call everyone to leave all? No. But I will tell you what, he's going to call you to leave it in your heart and to give it to him and give yourself to the Lord. How he longs for that kind of a place with you and me. And as we understand him, as we see him for who he is, our heart just begins to open like a flower to the Lord. Lord, have your way. I want you to draw me into your ways. I want you to use my life. I want you to bring glory to your name, just like you do with everything else you made. Isaiah 40 and 29, another very common scripture. He giveth power to the faint and to him that have no might. He increaseth strength. Do you know that Christ said he didn't come for the righteous? He came that the sinner might be saved. That's what Christ came for. Do you know that his whole thought toward us is to redeem us, redeem us from sin, and bring us to himself? And the Lord loves to do that this morning. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That's God, isn't it? That's what he wants to be for us. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. The ones that have, they're in their prime. They have the strength of life. But they'll fail in their own strength. But they that wait upon the Lord, folks, shall renew their strength. It's in the Lord. It's when we wait upon him. It's when we follow him and when we give ourselves to him. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Oh, how the Lord wants to do those things for us. There's a lot of scriptures about Christ's compassion when he was here on the earth. I'll just maybe quickly read two or three of them. But Mark 1 and 40. Says here, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion. Did you know Jesus has these feelings toward us? I've seen it so over and over. I've seen this very type of thing happen. And Jesus, it says, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Is that not wonderful this morning? I think this man got a new thought about God that day. I think he went home, and he never forgot, and he never quit telling what had happened when the Lord Jesus touched him. Have not some of us here had some of those same experiences? I remember different times, so ill, so under affliction, and the Lord touched it. And he said, I will. You can be free. You can be healed. You know, the Lord has that for us today too. Did we know that? This is the same Christ. I've seen it happen. And I know a bunch of us here have this morning in wonderful ways. Remember one time one of our children had something. And you know, and had it for a year and a half or so. And you know, we had him anointed and prayed for. And the next time I saw him, you could not even tell. You could not even tell that he had had this pretty extreme situation. And it never affected him again. And I know that was the Lord. I know God did that thing. I've seen that with my eyes. I've experienced it with my own body as well, more than once. And I thank the Lord for that this morning. This Lord that we serve, folks, he has thoughts concerning us. And he made it known. And he said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. Do we know that God has that in mind? Now, does he always work the same way? No, but I've seen him work lots and lots of times that way. Luke 7 and 12 to 16. And it came to pass. Now, let's see, 12. Now, When he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Has God ever visited you? Has God ever visited someone you knew very closely? I want to tell you, I just somehow suspicion that this young man never forgot this. I'm guessing he told it 1,000 times before he was dead. I'm guessing he told it over and over and over. Folks, you know when God visits us, he wants to change us. He wants to put something within us of himself. How he longs to do that. How he longs for us to respond to him and allow him to do that this morning. Because he won't make us. We're the only things on earth that he didn't make obey him. But he won't make us. But this morning, do we see in our hearts how much God cares for us? Do we see the love that when he came down, and we all know the scripture in John 3 and 16. Do we see that he didn't only form us in love, but when we went away, he sent his son to die for us, to shed his blood so our blood didn't have to be shed. So we did not have to be severed forever from the presence of God. But he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. I think the world only sees that. They only feel like, you all condemn us. Well, you know what? He went on to say something about that, didn't he? He said, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Is the world going to feel condemned? Yes, they are. They're condemned already because they don't believe. They don't leave the paths of sin and follow the Lord with all their heart. They don't follow his words and his commandments. Are they real? Do they matter? Yes, they do. Jesus made it very plain that he that loveth me, he told us several places, they will keep his commandments, didn't he? And so, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Oh, how the Lord wants us this morning to not refuse him that speaketh from heaven. To not refuse the words of the Lord to us. And to allow him that place. And not be condemned. Why should we be condemned when Christ died? Why should we be condemned when he not only died, but he commended his love to us in so many ways. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. How much love is that? And then while we ourselves in our weakness, it says it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that in all things he wanted to know, he wanted to be right where we are. He wanted to feel the very temptations we feel. He wanted us to know. I believe God could have understood those on his own. But he wanted us to know that he felt those things too. And he wanted to experience those for us. Oh, this morning, if we can behold, if we can really behold how much God, we were conceived in love when his very hands made us from the dust of the earth. We were conceived in love when he blew the breath of life into us. And then will we receive condemnation because we won't believe on him? Because we won't depart from evil and serve the Lord and let him have his way? I'm persuaded that if we let God have his way, we will find more joys and more depths and more blessings than we ever knew could be in this life. And we thank the Lord for that this morning. Amen.